Hello? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who created the heavens and the earth, you have also created me and saved me. We thank you, merciful Father. You did not spare your own begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You sent him to this world to take all of our sins and let Jesus die on the cross and shed blood. The judgment that was bound to us was given to Jesus, and now we are saved and made your children. Thank you. You raise us up inside this bodily church and give us works to do for you. Until you come back, let us fulfill the mission you gave us. Please help us and give us the power of the Holy Spirit. The summer retreat is still going on. Many souls came in front of your word. Let them know you, and by the love of Jesus Christ, let them be saved. Father, please help all those who came to your word. Let them get rid of their own stubbornness. Let them kneel down in front of your truthful word. Let them know you. Let them be saved. Please open their hearts widely. Be with all the pastors who are preaching your gospel. Please work on their lips and give them more power, and also give strength to those all serving for the summer retreat. Bless them in their flesh and their spirit. We pray that you are with us in this summer retreat and you are glorified. And also, wherever your gospel is being preached, we pray that our Lord, our Holy Spirit, is working together. Please work on the lips of the pastors preaching the word and help us so that the church is strongly established inside you. We are gathered together to learn your word today as well. Please let us know the word we need to know. Please guide us to your word. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. We'll read by turns. I'll start. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Read together. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, the choir will praise the Lord. Now let's open the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 19 to 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 19 to 23, verse 19 to 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23, read together. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Okay, right now at Gongju, in our Galilee Retreat Center, the sixth round of the summer retreat is going on. If you look at who registered, how many registered? 12,000, more than 12,000 people registered for the sixth round. So our faith building is filled up. Our hope building, auditorium. There are senior citizens and brothers and sisters who are leading them. So that auditorium is crowded as well. And that's not only it, but also church school. Little children or students in their middle school, high school, and also according to language, for example, Spanish or Japanese, Chinese, even as per different language, the summer retreat is going on. So, at the same time, the word is being preached. And I think it is a beautiful retreat when God sees it. Right now, among our Soul Central Church brothers and sisters, because they have souls to lead, there are some brothers and sisters of Soul Church that are right now at Gongju for the retreat. And because today is a Sunday, there are people who couldn't be baptized because they did not have much time. Some went down just to get baptized today. The weather is very hot and it's a very tough time. But still, inside our heart, there's the joy that God gives us. And there is the great passion of preaching the gospel at the retreat center. So when we see that, we are full of joy, we are happy. And today, when we look at the number of baptized people, there are at least 700 people being baptized at each round. So this time, many new souls were born again, and so today we're going to learn about the basic things in the Bible, but very important, we're going to talk about the law today. Today's topic is those under the law of Christ. So we're going to learn about the topic, those under the law of Christ today. What is law? What is the law? Before, I did not go to church, so I didn't know what the law was. Well, the law is the law, right? So, it is a law. You have to keep it. So, And we call those who are who know well about the law, we call them lawyers. But the Bible is called the law of God, the law of Christ. We call the Bible those things. The law has a wide range. There's a law inscribed in our hearts. We call that conscience. It is a law. And also the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is referred to as the law. Or sometimes the Bible says only the Old Testament is the law, or the five books of Moses is the law. So, but basically, generally, when you say the law, it means that if the Israelites keep the law, they're blessed. If they disobey that law, they are cursed. That law. Generally, we understand the law as what the Israelites have to keep. The regulations, commandments, the Israelites have to keep. But when you look into the law of the Israelites, there in two, it is do it or don't do it. There are 248 laws that says do it. And there are 365 laws saying don't do it. So there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. That's what the Bible scholars say. As we just read, this law, before the law, there was the grace of God first. It was given by a covenant. And this covenant, 430 years later, after he made it with Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham, and 430 years later, Moses was given the law, and that law cannot break the covenant. So the law is to give us the grace of God. God gave us the law to bless us. Well, at first, God did not give the Gentiles a law. He gave the law to the Jews so that they could keep it. So in the Romans, it says those who don't have the law and don't keep it, those who have the law don't keep it, they'll be judged. Those who don't have the law and sin, they'll be judged. So there are the Jews who have the law and Gentiles who don't have the law. And the Jews, God gave the Jews the law and said, hey, keep this law. But what did the Jews do? Did they keep the law? No. In Acts 15 verse 10, it says, we and our fathers were not able to bear this. Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? It was called a yoke. The Jews, they had a heavy burden. They had a big yoke on them, on their neck, the law. They tried to keep the law. But in order to keep the law, their insides have to change first. But their insides did not change, and only in the surface they were keeping the law. Or they were trying to keep the law, so they became hypocrites. And in Matthew's, just as Jesus said, the Pharisees, lawyers, Sadducees, they were called hypocrites. They were full of evil inside, but they kept it down. And in the surface, when they spoke or they did things, they tried to look clean. And Jesus said that they are hypocrites. Jesus said blind Pharisee first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, then that the outside of them may be clean also. the yoke that was upon the neck of Jews was so heavy, was such a big yoke, a heavy yoke. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest of your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now Jesus Christ gives us a law that is a law of Christ. The yoke that Jesus puts upon us, that is an easy and light burden. That's what Jesus said. The law given to the Jews, the law, the commandment, is something that God gave, hey, try keep this. But the purpose of that was to let them know about their sins. So the law, the standard, is too high. You have to be holy as God is holy. You have to be righteous as God is righteous. You have to be good as God is good. And then you could keep the law. But actually, we are born as Adam's descendants. It was the same for the Jews. They cannot keep the law. You have to keep the whole law, then you could go to heaven. You keep the whole law, then of course you could go to heaven because you have no sin. But no one can be justified by the law. Let us open the Bible, Luke chapter 10. From verse 26 to 28. Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Well, actually, the person who asked this question was a certain lawyer. A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to go to heaven?" So Jesus answered him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." But the lawyer thought that he loved his God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. So, then, what did he want to talk about? The neighbor. Okay, I'm doing well, loving God, then who's my neighbor? Who should I love? Well, actually, there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. If you summarize them, you could put them in the Ten Commandments, and you can divide the Ten Commandments into two. Love God, and then love your neighbor. If you add that up, it is love. 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 So that is the core of the law, love. So the Bible says, the law is holy, therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law itself is holy, and righteous, and just and good, but the problem is, we are born as sinners. We have sinful nature inside us. We can't keep it. It's like something we just can't do. So, we read together a while about Galatians, and it says, "Those under law are cursed." Why? Because whoever, if you don't do what the law says as is written all the time, then you're under the curse. Sometimes we may keep the law. We can't keep the whole law all the time. So when we try to keep the law, trying to go to heaven by the law, you fall down to hell. Whoever keeps a whole law and then violates one, then he violates all. If we don't pay back for the last penny of sin, then we can't get out of hell. That is the standard of the law. So, the Israelites, what did they try to do? Oh, we failed, but we'll keep on trying. They were being stubborn. What's the reason? Because they wanted to do something. They didn't think about the grace of God. They tried to do it by themselves. I am righteous. Just like Job said, they were more righteous than God. I could do it. I could keep the law. That is actually challenging God. Then why did God give the law if you can't keep it in the first place? He wanted to let us know without the grace of God, nobody can go to heaven. By the love, the grace of God, by the works that God does for us, by that great love and grace, when we know it and accept it, when we believe in His grace, we are saved and can go to heaven. So the law is given that we can know we are sinners. Before the law, if a man committed sin, he didn't know a sin was a sin. In Romans, let's find a few verses. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Read together. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, let's say a person committed a big sin in this world. If there's no law that makes that sin a sin, then you can't put that person in front of the court. So sometimes the parliament makes a special law and says this is a sin, and judges. That happens in this world sometimes. But in front of God, there needs to be a law that says that is a sin. There needs to be a law to let you know there's a sin, and then you will be judged by that law for your sin. So the law is given to let you know that what you do is a sin. Verse 20, read together. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When there's no law, you don't know a sin is a sin. If the law didn't say covetousness is a sin, I would not have known it. But the law teaches me that a sin is sin. Romans chapter 7, from verse 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, read together. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Verse 12 and 13, read together. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. When there is no law, people think this is not a sin. But if you make a law and say that is a sin, then we know that, oh, this is a sin. And we realize that we are sinners. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. When God gives us a law, he is teaching us, you are under the judgment of God. So in verse 19, it says that every mouth may be stopped. That is the purpose of the law. You look at the law and, oh, I'm not as righteous as God is. I am not as good as God is. I am not holy as God is. No matter what I do it in a year or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I'm still not as good as God. So by the law, I cannot be justified. Every year, when there is sin, the Jews brought an offering and gave atonement for themselves. They participated in the sin offering, but they commit sin again and they are sinners. And they realize, oh, this is not the answer. I have to change my direction and go towards God. I have to rely on the mercy and love and grace of God. Then he will forgive all the sins of my life, and then I could be as holy and just and good as God. And we call that repentance. Repentance means that even if I try to be a good person and try to keep the law and try to go to heaven by myself, it is realizing that whatever you do, you can't go to heaven by your works. And then you come back to Christ. So Jesus said, eternal life is knowing the only God and who he sent, Jesus Christ. If I am not as righteous as God, I realize it, and then I can repent. Then I need a savior who can save me. So God sent a savior. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So God sent our savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to this world. So, when we know the only true God and know that we are sinners, we go to Jesus and take off our sin and then gain eternal life. What about John the Baptist? His father was Zechariah, the high priest. And in Israel, if your father is a high priest, then automatically you become a priest. Then where do you have to work? The Holy Temple of Jerusalem. But John the Baptist, he was supposed to work at the Holy Temple as a priest, but he didn't stay at the temple. He went to the wilderness and said, repent, heaven is near. With what you learn inside the Holy Temple of Jerusalem, you can't go to heaven. Repent, heaven is near. There's a way to go to heaven. There's a way to take off your heavy burden. Heaven is near. Jesus Christ is coming. So he gave the baptism of repentance, and that baptism of repentance is not like the baptism we have after we're born again. The baptism of repentance is acknowledging that you are a sinner in front of God, and like this, you'll die and go to hell. It is acknowledging that you are a sinner falling down to hell, and then going down in the Jordan River and saying, oh, I'm going to die like this. That was the baptism of repentance. But later on, after you are saved by Jesus Christ, you have to have a real baptism. By the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have to be baptized. The real baptism is dying together with Christ and being raised from the dead with Christ. And I think they, if they were truly saved, they would have been baptized again. But it was written that repentance will be preached to the ends of the earth. It was already written in the Bible. That repentance will be preached to the whole world. And God gave us the Bible so that we know what is written and what is fulfilled. And when we know that, we see that God is holy, and we find out what kind of people we are in front of God. And we learn about our sins and what happens to us through the Bible. And there is only one way to save us, by Jesus Christ. There is no other name that God gave to save. There is only one name that can save us, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, all the problems of our life will be solved. What is the problem? Not making a lot of money and being successful in this world, but the problem of your soul about salvation. So the purpose of the law is to let you know that you are a sinner. And when you know that you are a sinner, you could come to Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. That is making the grace of God in vain. So the law leads us to go in front of Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 from verse 21 to 24. I will read Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23 and 24 read together. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. that we might be justified by faith. That we might be justified by faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard by the law. But the law cannot take care of the problem of sin. Where does he take us? The law takes us to Christ. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. So, the purpose of the law is first, is to make me realize that I am a sinner that will fall down to hell. I am a sinner that cannot be as holy as God. And then, he leads us to Christ who could take care of that problem. That is the law of the Old Testament. But the law says if you keep the whole law, you could go to heaven. But if you keep all the law and then violate one, then you violated the whole law and you go down to hell. That's a curse. For the wages of sin is death. It is a curse. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27 verse 26. Verse 26. Deuteronomy 27 verse 26, read together. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say Amen. It's not only one law, but cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say Amen. That's right. You have to keep all the words of this law, or you will be a sinner and be cursed. For the wages of sin is death, that is the curse of the law. But where did the curse of the law end? It ended when Jesus Christ died for all. If you look at Romans 8 verse 3, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Whatever sin I have committed, whether I know it or not, was given to Jesus. So in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 5:21 it says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the judgment of sin that we had to take was given to Jesus, and Jesus was judged, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God, when we rely on it, we can go to heaven. In Galatians 3 verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is an important one, so let's open this. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13, read together. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took the curse for me, for the whole world. He was cursed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It doesn't say he will redeem us. It says Christ has redeemed us. It is finished. Jesus took the curse of the law for us. It is an amazing thing. Sometimes I ask a question. It is a very difficult one. Try to answer. Do you love me? You just laugh, right? You don't love. Okay, I get it. But some people said yes. And I will ask another question to those who said that love me. If you love me, could you die for me? No. No. Well, that's right. Even if we love other people, it's very difficult to love somebody more than myself. Well, it could happen, but it's not something that happens all the time. But what about Jesus? Jesus loved me. Even if you love me, you don't love me more than yourself. But the one that created the heavens and the earth, God Himself, loves me more than Himself. So, He could die for me. He could take the curse of the law for me. Think about that. The curse of the law. The curse of the law was finished on the cross of Christ. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus Christ finished the curse of the law on the cross. Why? Only one reason. Because He loves us. He loves us for no reason, no condition. You have so much sin. You have a terrible ego. I don't love you. He didn't say that. No matter what kind of sin you have committed, He loves us for no reason, no condition. With His body, He took the curse of the law that we had to take. Jesus died for us. He took all our sins and cleansed us. And adding upon that, He sees us as a righteous man who did not commit sin and did good. That is the righteousness of the law. And Jesus kept the righteousness of the law. Jesus Christ came to this world to take away our sins, and we know that He has no sin. Jesus came to this world and He never committed a single sin, inside or outside. Whatever, Jesus kept the whole law all the time. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us." He did not know sin. He cannot commit sin. An apostle Peter said, that who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He kept all the law. That is the righteousness of God. So, Jesus took away the curse of the law, and plus that, He gave us the righteousness of God upon us. And He made us holy as God is holy. Because Jesus did everything. That is a fact. So we are justified being as righteous as God. Why? Because Jesus was like that. Jesus was a holy man. He was separated from the deeds of the world. So in Hebrews, it says that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. So, we are now covered with His love, and His righteousness. And the righteousness of the law was covered upon us by Jesus. What does the law ask? The law asks for love. The request of the law is love. And Jesus, on the cross, fulfilled the requirements of the law. He loved us. A sinless man died for all the sins of the world. We read in Luke, love your Lord God He really loved us with all His heart, all His mind, all His strength. And He loved the whole world with His whole body. But Jesus did that, but we can't. So what did Jesus do? What Jesus did is considered as if I did it. He just gave it to us like that. On the cross, He said, it is finished. The curse of the law, it is finished. The righteousness of the law, it is finished. Jesus said Himself, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus laid down His life for us. And He asks us, do as much as you could do, and then I will pay you back with reward. So, the faithful people before us, they loved as they could. The disciples of Jesus, the apostles, and the saints before us, they risked their life, they gave up their life, and gave love. As much as they do, the Lord gives back with glory. The Bible says the law and prophets is until John. And actually the Old Testament was until only John the Baptist. The last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist. And after that, there is a prophet that God sent, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled what man could not do. He fulfill the requirements of the law, and then we live by the faith in Jesus Christ. We live a new life in Christ, right? So Jesus said, we cannot keep the law. Now we no longer need to go to heaven by the law. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 18 and 19. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Read together. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Of course, the law and commandment, it's not wrong. Man is wrong. Man cannot keep the commandment. So nobody can go to heaven by keeping the commandment. So, a better hope is brought in through Jesus Christ. That is being under grace. And that grace is the law of Christ. As we well know, think about the Jews. The Jews did not know the will of God. And the devil worked inside them. And they distorted the will of God. The devil says, oh, you believe in God. Do your best. God said, keep the law. Keep the law. You failed yesterday. Why don't you try to keep it today? And then the Jews thought, oh, I am holy, I try to keep the law. And just as Romans says, the Bible says they have passion, they have a zeal for God, but that's not from knowledge. In Romans 10, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Jesus said, if God is your Father, you would have known me. Why? Because the Father, God, sent me. So, your father is the devil. Your father is the devil. So the Jews served God their whole life in the Holy Temple, but they served another God. And many people in this world, they believe in a different Jesus. They believe in a different Jesus, so when they die and go in front of Jesus, you will say, I never knew you. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of God. They don't know what the will of God is. They don't know what the righteousness of God is. On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And do many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. They believed in another Jesus, a different Jesus. But why? They have a zeal, but not of knowledge. They don't know what the Bible means. They went to the church for a few decades. And if I say, let's go to Hebrews, they are looking in the Old Testament. They don't know about the Bible. It's just some kind of decoration, accessory. Oh, they have a zeal. They do their best. The devil tricks them. Oh, that's not enough. You have to do more, and they do their best. They really do their best to serve God, but Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is lawlessness. They are not under the law of Christ. And the Jews did not know the righteousness of God. They need another righteousness. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. From verse 21 to 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, 22. Verse 21, 22. Let's read slowly together. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. It is not deeds, it is the righteousness of God apart from the law. God gives by faith. The righteousness of God given through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. Blessed verse, right? Look at verse 28. Read together. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. But if you look at Galatians 5, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. People say they believe in Jesus but try to be justified by keeping the law. Those are fallen from grace. So that is an irony. There is the Word of God and there is their own ways. It is an irony. It is in contrast. It doesn't make sense. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Read together. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The righteousness that I have is not from the law, it's not from deeds, but by faith in Christ. That is right. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So we are seen as righteous as God and go to heaven. And let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12. Sorry, it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. I'll read. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We used to live in sin every single day, but now we were sanctified. You were washed. It doesn't say you will be washed, you will be sanctified, but it says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified. So this verse is a very consoling, comforting verse. This word is the truth. This verse will never change. It is the word of God. The word of God is the same. The word of God is alive. It has power. It's like a two-edged sword. The word of God created the heavens and the earth. It has the power to create. The word of God has the power to save sinners and take them to heaven. It has the power of salvation. Let's say I say, be created. And does the space be created? No. With my own words, if I say, let the heavens and the earth be created, will it be created? No. But God's word has power. When God said, let there be light, there was light. He created the heavens and earth with his word. The word of God has power different from man. Why don't you try going to Lazarus' grave and say, come out, Lazarus! Will he come out? No. No matter how much we scream, come out, Lazarus, he will not come out. But Jesus said just once, Lazarus, come out. He was dead for a few days. His body was stinking, but he became alive and came out. The word of God is the word of life. The power of the word is amazing. And it's the same for this verse as well. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is already given. Think about the Jews. When they were under the law, they are bound to the law. They fall short of the glory of God. They can't do anything about it. They have heavy burden. They have a hard life. But there is a way to be free from the law. In Romans chapter 7, it explains. Romans chapter 7, please open Romans chapter 7. It is explained by the relationship between husband and wife. Romans chapter 7. From verse 1 to 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Verse 5 and 6 read together. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now we are free from the law. As verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. The law is holy. The law is good. The law is righteous. The law is too strong. The law is like a husband. He doesn't die. So, There was no way to escape from this law, this husband. But there's only one way. You have to die.
Right?
You have to die. The law doesn't die, then you have to. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. From verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, let's read together. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. The law is so strong, the law doesn't die, so I died. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. If I die, then what's the good of it? So somebody has to die for me. Jesus died for me, and that is considered my death. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. One died for all, then all died. I died together to the law with Christ. And he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That is the new life. That is a new life in Christ. After we are born again, that we live a new life, a completely different life. But some people say, I am saved, but they don't show the new life. Then we don't know if that person is truly saved or not. Well, of course, God knows. If somebody says he's born again and doesn't live the Christian life, it's either his flesh is so strong or he is lying that he's saved. Man doesn't know, but God does. But we actually should know that I am dead towards the law, and I no longer live for myself, but I live for him who died for me and rose again. So, it means that if I'm truly born again, I will live a new life for God. Let's say there's a son and he never listens to his parents. And the father was, oh, my son, when will he grow up? When will he become an adult? A real man? At home he's making problems. Making problems again. Outside in the world he is making problems. But suddenly, the son has an accident and he is now about to die. And his heart is injured. And if he doesn't have a heart implanted, he has to die. And the father made up his mind. Okay. My son. My son, if I give him my heart and lives his life, a real life, then it's worth it. I should give my son a chance. And the father gave his heart to his son. And before the father died, he wrote a long letter for his son. And the son survived. And the son knew that his father died for him, And he read the letter his father wrote. And the son cried. Oh, my father loved me more than himself. He always scolded me. I thought he hated me. He always scolded me. I thought he hated me. I shall no longer live like my past, but as my father wrote, I should live a new life. And he has the love of his father inside him and lives his life. He lives a new life. He became a new man. And Christ did that for us. So, the name of Christ is Jesus. The meaning of Jesus is salvation. And Jesus has another name, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Now, Jesus is inside me. God is inside me through the Holy Spirit. He is living together with me. He rules over me and guides me. We should live that new life. And that is living under grace. There were 613 laws in the Old Testament, but Jesus gave us 1,052, the Bible scholars say. But before, the law was a very difficult thing. But what Jesus told us is something I could do voluntarily, something I want to do. We could do whatever Jesus said for him. That is being under the law of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. From verse 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. 5 to 8. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7 and 8, read together. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now Jesus is inside me. He lives with me. I should not be the master of Jesus, but Jesus should be my master. I should live according to how he lives. That is the new life. So to the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You blind Pharisee, make the insides clean first, and the outsides will be clean." Now, after we're saved, the dirty things inside are cleansed, and the Holy Spirit is inside us. How could you make your insides clean? Do you use soap and clean your insides? No. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they did not know about what is making the inside clean. Making the insides clean is becoming a sinner, becoming from a sinner into a righteous man, and Nicodemus did not know that. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It is even written in the Old Testament that you must be born of water and spirit. But Nicodemus didn't know that, so Jesus said, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? But we know. Making your insides clean is only done by the Word of God." Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. Let's read together. "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Purifying their hearts by what? By faith. By faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. So in Philippians 2 verse 5 it says, "Have this heart inside you. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." And it says in the Bible, you have the heart of Jesus inside you. If you're born again, you have the heart of Christ Jesus. In Romans 5 it says, "The heart, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." This is a very surprising thing. What is the grace that God gives us? The greatest grace is the salvation. In Titus chapter 2, it says, "To all people, the salvation of God is given." In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." By faith. By grace. By the deeds of the law, we cannot be saved, but for by grace you have been saved through faith. Right? My righteousness is not by keeping the law, but by Christ. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled by Christ, and that righteousness God gave me. Now we live under grace, we live by faith. So, before I was born again, sin ruled over me, but now sin cannot rule over me. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Read together. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Under grace, the law of Christ. We are under the law of grace. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Read together. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We should serve in the newness of the Spirit. This is grace. So after Apostle Paul was saved, he preached the gospel. And whatever he did, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He did whatever he did by the grace of God. He did not do something on purpose while he did not want to do it. He did everything by the grace of God. We are sons. We are sons of God. Your sons... And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Verse 22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So inside us there is the Holy Spirit. My body moves according to my heart, right? If my heart says, hold up my hand, I hold up my hand. The body is controlled by the mind, but the mind is controlled by the Spirit. The mind has covetousness and wants this, but the Spirit says, no, that's not yours, don't touch it. The mind is controlled by the Spirit, but inside my spirit there is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside us. Those who are one with God. So inside my spirit there is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is combined inside me and controls me. What does the Spirit try to do first? Right before Jesus ascended to heaven in Acts, it says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And what does the Spirit want to do? He wants to testify what Jesus Christ did. And He rules me and leads me. For the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. So, Apostle Paul lived a life compelled by the love of Christ. And he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace given to me is not in vain. And he said that, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He was compelled by the love of Christ and lived as a Christian. And Jesus said to His disciples, I gave you a new commandment, love one another. The new commandment was love. Love one another. As I loved you, love each other. That is the commandment of Christ. Love. It is something we have to do. It is an order. There are 1,052 things Jesus told us to do, and the love of Christ compels us to keep His word. So the Bible says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? The love of Christ compels us to preach the gospel, to love brothers and sisters. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is inside you? The Bible says, examine yourselves, test yourselves whether you're in the faith, in 2 Corinthians 13. Are you really under the law of Christ? Those who are under the law of Christ will fulfill the requirements of the law, which is love, just as Jesus fulfilled the law. I give you a new commandment, love one another, and love each other as I loved you. Then, how should we love? We should love God, we should love Jesus, love the church, love brothers and sisters. And individually, we have to love ourselves. Why? The number one neighbor is myself. I have to love myself. I have to love my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my relatives, and more. I have to love my neighbors I don't know, and more. I have to love the whole world. We have to preach this gospel, fulfilling the love of Christ. That is being under the law of Christ, and that is fulfilled through grace. Christ is inside me and guides me to the four elements of Christian life. What is it? The word, prayer, evangelism, prayer, and more. He leads me to give offerings and serve the church. That makes us happy. That pleases God. And that glorifies God. For the love of Christ compels us. He compels us to do those things by His love. But if we lose to our flesh, we cannot fulfill what He has told us to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Let's read together. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law, which is love, and He wants us to fulfill it. So this Bible says, do we annul the law? No, certainly not. We rather establish the law even stronger. The requirement of the law is love, and those who are born again are under the love of Christ, and we fulfill this. Jesus said, don't think I came to break the law. He came to make the law stand stronger. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Read together. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. This is not something you could do by yourself, but the Spirit inside you leads you to do this, and you could do this. We just follow the Spirit, and we look back, and the requirement of the law was fulfilled. Let's say there's a law. Do not watch TV on Sunday. And if we memorize that, do not watch TV on Sunday, then we want to watch more. But if we come to church on Sundays, listen to the Word of God, serve the church, and do this and that, and we come back, and we look back, oh, we didn't watch TV, right? And that law is fulfilled, right? If we do as the love of Christ compels us, and we look back, and the law is fulfilled. Love does not harm the neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It is the requirement of the law. It is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law, and he makes us fulfill the law the same. Why? Emmanuel, God is with us. The Lord is inside us. And he helps us that we fulfill the law. Inside me, he compels me. And finally, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. Read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. Read together. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So, I am under the law to fulfill the requirements of the law, that is love. So, in other words, we can save other peoples because we love them. That is the greatest love. We are all connected, and we just try to save some. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, full of love, we thank you . We realized the great love of Jesus Christ, and our Lord, the Holy Spirit, is now inside us together with us and lead us according to the law and compels us to fulfill the requirement of the law. And we thank you. Until you come back, let us keep the new commandment Jesus gave to us, love one another. Let us love one another in our lives. We pray it in the Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing Grace Hymns 195. Grace Hymns 195.